Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
My birth certificate states that I was born to Ollie and Mary Frady in Electra, Texas. The hospital where I was born has been torn down, probably to make way for a Taco Bell or a gas station or something. I became a father when Sandra gave birth to our firstborn son, Christopher. Up until then, I could not have been described as a father, because having a child, a boy or a girl, makes you a father or a mother. That's the way that it's been since Adam and Eve. But in the nature of God, God has always been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the Father was never without the Son. He did not gain a son when Jesus was born. God sent his Son from heaven to earth to show us the way. So, when Jesus was born, the Father shared in the delight that the world would know God's glory, because he gave us Emmanuel, God with us. God sent his Son, who is always with him. Before the world began, he was with the Father. He shared the Father's glory. He shared in the activities of the Father. He watched the Father. He was in every way like the Father. As a matter of fact, there is no division or ranking between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are one. It's hard for us to kind of understand that sometimes, but it's part of the wonderful mystery of the Trinity. The Son has always been with the Father. If Jesus were to tell his disciples this, and he said, "For if you love me, you will be glad that I am going to the Father, because that means I am returning to the glorious position that he has in heaven above." As we begin to look into the Word of God, it begins to reveal Jesus to us. Because from the very beginning, from Genesis 3:15 on, we see the working that the Messiah will bring to the earth. He will break the back of Satan. He will crush his head under his heel. Jesus was sent here for a purpose. Let us try and grasp what that purpose was today. Let's go before him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you that we have another opportunity to come before you and simply to sit at the foot of your throne and absorb those things which you would have us learn. May we learn more about your blessed Son, our Savior and Lord, Jesus, who is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, who is Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you for your love and for your kindness. If there's anything that I would say that is from me and not from you, then cast it out, Father. I would not have any of these people hear something that I alone might say. But those words that are from you, those words that are blessed by you, those words that lift us up and let us see the glory that is Jesus. Father, we ask for those moments today, that we should hear those words with ears of understanding, that we should truly bow before You and worship You and adore You because You have done so much for us. And these things that we ask for illumination by Your Holy Spirit, we ask now in the name You've placed above all other names, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Look at John 5. We'll start with verse 19. Well, actually, let's start a little before that because I want you to understand the context of what was going on here. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill Him because He had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill Him, because He not only broke the Sabbath, but He also said that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God." Verse 19, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does it in like manner.'" In ancient times, our lives had a very simple path. You followed in your father's footsteps, or if you were a girl, you followed in your mother's footsteps. You watched your father, whatever position he held. If he was a carpenter, you became a carpenter. If he was a fisherman, you became a fisherman. He wanted you to be just like the one who gave you life. That is the way it was. It was a very simple way of life. Even in England, their Middle Ages came and people were named after what their father did. They were a tinker or a tailor or whatever their father did, that was the name that they had. So as you watched your parents, you learned how things were done. And then you in turn did them. In verse 19, Jesus says that He only is limited by what He's seen the Father do. That He can't do anything that the Father didn't do, but He can do all things that the Father does. Now, there are ways in which we may, in some small way, in some almost little way, we may reflect the nature of the Father, of our Father, of all of our fathers, Father God. When we love, for He is love, we are being like the Father. When we forgive, for He is forgiveness personified, then we are being like the Father. When we make peace, as He is the Prince of Peace, we are reflecting the Father's character. But there are some things we can never do. When did any of you ever create life from nothing? Or the universe? Did you create the universe? Did you make all things new? Did you calm the storm? No. There are things that only God can do. God raises the dead. Only God is in a position to give life to you, because He is the source of all good and perfect things. Because He is God. because in His creative nature, He can give life and life abundant. He alone is in a position to pass final judgment. Are you in a position to judge one another? No. The Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged. And the same way you judge others, you'll be judged yourself. And so, these are things that we cannot do. But Jesus tells us that these are things He can do. And in verse 22, He says, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him." I have two sisters. They're younger than I am, and they live in Austin, Texas. But you could never say, if you've seen me, you've seen my sisters, because they don't have very much in common with me. They don't look like me. They don't talk like me. We came from the same parents, but we're totally different. You could not say, if you have seen Roy Frady, I have seen LaDonna and Vicky. You could not say that, because it's simply not true. I have talked to a man here in this place hours upon hours upon hours upon hours. I have spent days and weeks with this man. I love him. He is a man of great faith. When I get to heaven, I expect to see him there. But we have a difference of opinion. You see, I believe that Jesus was God. And he doesn't. He believes that Jesus became God only after the resurrection. It's a point. But you see, there are many pastors who are preaching the good news of Jesus Christ who do not believe that Jesus is God. They're just not honest enough to say it. They don't believe it. You can tell by their works they don't believe it. Because if they believed it, they would be disciples of Jesus. And they would be becoming more like Him. And yet it seems that they spend more time on creature comforts. Flying in airplanes, playing golf, doing other things. Than they do following Christ. The man I love is a pastor. We disagree on a point that is very central to my theology, and I hope to yours, because I believe that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. If I'm correct, then Jesus came to the earth to show us the Father. Even though no one had ever seen God in the flesh, He came to reveal the Father to us. If my pastor friend is right, Jesus was not God, then how could the invisible God ever be known if Jesus didn't show us who God was? And if Jesus is not God, but only close to God, well, then we're left guessing what God is truly like. Jesus says here that He only does what the Father tells Him to do. He only speaks those things the Father tells Him to speak. If Jesus is not God, then by definition He must be different from God. In what way is He different? The Pharisees thought that He was different from God. They didn't think He was an equal to God. That's the reason they wanted to kill Him. Jesus said, "The Father and I are one." He is one. If Jesus were not God, then the cross is an act of cruelty, not of love. As a matter of fact, Jesus being crucified on the cross is the greatest miscarriage of justice the world has ever known. Because Jesus represents God here on earth. He is the Logos, the exact representation of God. He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so, if He is giving Himself away, then we are the recipients of that gift. Jesus cannot be our Savior if He is not our God, because God's redemptive plan calls for Him, God, to give Himself away. And He did that in the person of Jesus Christ. He gave Himself an unqualified gift to you and I for the redemption of our sins. He gave Himself. He was the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. If He is not God, then we have to disregard Romans 5:8. And God says He demonstrated His justice on this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We can ignore that. But you see, God's redemptive plan would be null and void if His plan involved a great cost. If that great cost were not God in the flesh, then none of us can be assured of our salvation. We can't know for sure. Let's suppose that you have an advocate, an attorney who speaks for you before the court. And he speaks to you and he says to you, you're free. Well, unless he is in relationship with the judge himself, then there's no way. But Jesus says, I have been given by the Father the right to be the judge. And so when he says, your sins are forgiven, enter into the life that has been prepared for you from the beginning of the world, you're forgiven because Jesus is the judge. Jesus gave himself in an act of self-giving that would be the ultimate display in nature and in glory. He plans for each of his manifestations, God does, to be present. I said last week that one would be the giver, one would be the gift, and one would deliver the gift. Sometime before the scripture was written, God said, I will give. I love the earth so much that I will give my only begotten Son. I love the earth so much that I will be the giver. And Jesus said, I will be the gift. And the Holy Spirit said, and I will deliver the gift to whoever, whosoever opens their heart to receive it. If the Son is not God, you just don't know if He has the power or the authority to be your Savior, to pass judgment. Verse 24 of chapter 5 says this, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come to judgment, but has passed from death into life. And Jesus revealed His true nature, His true identity to His followers and to those who persecuted Him and to you and me. He simply asked us to trust Him. To trust Him. Because He is God with us. because He said He'd never leave us. He'd never forsake us. He holds the keys to your destiny. He has life within Himself, and therefore He can offer life to you. If He did not have life within Himself, how could He offer you life? He has life within Himself. He is the one who can give you eternal life. He promises that if you receive Him, you receive the one who sent Him, and you will not be condemned. You will not be condemned because Jesus Himself is the judge. And if He is the judge, He said, no one who comes to Me will I in any way cast out. He is the judge who loves us, who hung on a cross for us. And while He was on the cross, we were on His mind. He loves us. Praise God. He loves us. But do we really believe Jesus? Do we really trust Him? Or do our lives show a different thing? Do you acknowledge Jesus is God and therefore a part of the nature and glory of and the exact representation of the invisible God? Or do you not? You know, if you do, there is a positive. You are then an adopted son or daughter into the kingdom of heaven, and you will forever be with them. Jesus promises that. He said, I will come in and sup with you. My Father will come in and sup with you. We will come in and sup with you. We love you. And that love will saturate you. But if you reject Him, then you're saying Jesus is not God. And you're exercising the free will He gave you. Because He doesn't want you to come unless you want to place your trust in Him. He wants your heavenly home to be occupied by you. He's gone to prepare a place for you, that where He is, you may be also. He has gone to replace, to prepare that place for you. And if you acknowledge that He is your Christ, your Savior, the Son of the living God, then you become co-heirs with Him of everything that He has. Because He not only gives Himself away, He gives all of His stuff away too. Have you ever thought about that? We went to the zoo yesterday with my grandchildren, or some of my grandchildren, and it was really fun. I mean, we really enjoyed ourselves because we got to see them. With all their little peculiarities, we got to see them. And I got to see the pout on the faces of one of my grandsons. I got to see the smile on the face of another. I got to see my little granddaughter just point here and there, and Sandra was taking photographs. It was a delight to be in the presence of all the creatures that God had created at the zoo and be with those that God had created that are a part of our life. Jesus gives us everything. On the way home, we woke up the children who were asleep and we said, where do you want to go to eat? They told us and went right back to sleep. He didn't mind how much it cost because it didn't cost Him anything. Okay? It never is going to cost Him anything until He leaves the house. That's the way your heavenly home is, and you're surrounded by the creative energy of God. Imagine that. That everything that you've ever dreamed is there at your disposal. That He gives you not only Himself and His heart, but He gives you His home, His place, your place in heaven, You're with Him. He shares the Father's nature and glory. And you as a son or daughter are enveloped in that glory. He's given you all you need and all you have, and by His power you breathe and have your being. Do you live as though Jesus is your God? I must admit and confess before you that sometimes I don't, because fear in the world jumps in, and I'm not perfect, and I get carried away by this and that and the other, and I jump to this decision and jump to that decision, and I do all kinds of manner of things without referring to God and without bowing before Him. I think that's the human condition. That we struggle trying to be like Him, when all that is required is that we surrender to Him. Stop struggling with Him and allow yourself to become more like Him who loves you. But do you ignore His teachings and commandments? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Do you? Do you do that? The choice is yours, for God has created you with free will, and you can accept or reject Him. The Holy Spirit stands here ready to do what the Holy Spirit does. He wants to give you the gift. He wants to shed a spotlight on Jesus and say, here's the gift. Do you want it? I mentioned earlier on that I'd gotten an envelope, and I was, you know, I with some trepidation, I opened it because it was an official envelope. But all of the things that are on the inside were good news. Was good news. Except there was that little doubt in me that the devil kept using to scare me. Is there a doubt in you? Do you feel like you're worthy? You're not worthy. Let me tell you right now, you're not worthy. Only Jesus can make you worthy. There's no way that we can live up to the standard of Christ without the Holy Spirit emboldening us and giving us His strength and His power to live the life He called us to live. But if you receive Him, you'll have all the things within you necessary for you to do everything God wants you to do, everything He lays on your heart, everything He motivates you to do. You can do through Jesus, who is God, Emmanuel, God with us, who came to show us that He, like us, reflect our human parent, but that He reflects His supernatural parent. He reflects the nature of God, the Father Himself. Each of us can do that a little bit today. If we receive the presence of God in our life, God wants us to have Him. That's the reason He gave Jesus to us. That's the reason Jesus gave Himself on the cross. That's the reason all of us are here today, because we want more of Jesus. If you want more of Jesus, you can have Him today. The Holy Spirit will fill you up to overflowing. Pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing in each of our lives.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the Internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.